via app.
CBS News Brief. Police fired tear gas at anti-ICE demonstrators during a fourth night of protests in L.A. California is suing over President Trump's deployment of the National Guard and now the Marines. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The suit calls it a, quote, unprecedented power grab and misuse of federal authority.
Medical experts like CBS News contributor Dr. Celine Gounder pushing back after Health Secretary Kennedy removes the CDC's entire panel of vaccine experts.
It injects political instability into a process that's traditionally been nonpartisan, not political, and rooted in science.
Police in Austria say eight students and a teacher have been shot and killed at a high school in the city of Graz. The suspect also died. CBS's Holly Williams.
According to local media reports, there are a number of injured people, including both students and teachers. We have no confirmed information at this point about the motives of the attacker.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A major bridge in western Wisconsin is open again after its second emergency closure in 2 years. With more, here's Jimmy Cuska.
A bridge crossing the Mississippi River to the south of La Crosse is open once again. The Blackhawk Bridge, which takes motorists from Wisconsin to Lansing, Iowa, reopened Monday morning. It was closed on May 17th due to one of its piers moving, but Iowa DOT officials said the bridge is safe to cross. The DOT said that it is planning future closures due to construction of the 94-year-old bridge's replacement, which is set to open in 2027. The current bridge was also closed last year for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs.
Southeastern Wisconsin is now home to the state's first large-scale battery storage facility. Stuart J. Wattles has more.
We Energies says the Paris Solar Battery Park in Kenosha County is now fully operational. The site's new battery system stores enough electricity to power more than 130,000 homes for 4 hours. Solar panels at that site have been working since last December. We Energies is leading the project with partners involved, including Wisconsin Public Service and Madison Gas and Electric.
Meanwhile, Public News Service reports Southwest Wisconsin is also seeing an increase in clean energy. Those in favor say these large-scale, renewable projects are economically beneficial for the community. Around 10% of electricity in Wisconsin comes from renewable sources. These include biofuels, wind, and solar. Roughly 6,500 people work in the industry, which invests $15.5 million a year in property, state, and local taxes, and more than $15 million annually in land lease payments. Critics argue renewable energy replaces some of the state's agricultural land. Those in favor claim less than 2% of Wisconsin's ag land is needed to reach the state's clean energy goals. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers begin their 3-day mini camp. But without Jaire Alexander, the team releasing the veteran defensive back after failing to come to terms with the new agreement, Packers president Mark Murphy.
Well, first of all, he's been a great player for us. Obviously, elite talent. You know, unfortunately, just injured a lot. And, you know, it's kind of unfortunately, that's a big part of our game.
Baseball, the Brewers and Braves series continues tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers losing last night 7-1 after 15 batters struck out, 11 by Braves starter Chris Sale. D.L. Hall on watching Sale perform on the mound.
Oh, it's incredible. You know, somebody to watch and learn from. He's been doing it for a long time, so it's always fun to watch him and learn some stuff.
What stands out to you about a guy like that?
Oh, man, just the longevity and how long he's been really good and doing what he did tonight.
That's Brewers pitcher D.L. Hall with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy and a bit warmer today. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop to around 60 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunny and even warmer with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins me to talk new movies. Then producer, director, editor, and Wisconsinology founder Frank Anderson joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you back here on this, Tuesday morning, June 10th. Look at the screen, Pat. You put the date right on there. Tuesday, June 10th, 2025. Nice to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here in a second. Chad Holmes will be. Chad, did I ask you about studio letters last time around? You're muted, by the way. So, well, you take care of that.
Yes, you did.
What did we come up with? Oh, you didn't care. That was it. Did you ever find out the letter for Wausau?
No. I mean, I probably should make it up myself. I can put a sign on the door. I could do that. I think I got that within my realm of responsibilities, and I think that's maybe my next time we talk, I'll have something that has right on that door right behind me.
Oh, I don't know. I got a feeling I'm going to keep an eye on my text line over here. I think Mr. Mathers will be racing to take credit for the letter before you know it. Let's see, on the text line from Lori in Hayward. Good morning, guys. My dad and my grandpa would get up early and oftentimes stay up late to go fishing, but they'd always come home for a hot cup of coffee with a little splash of Canadian Club. Or perhaps it was a little splash of something from grandpa's secret little brandy bottle. We were all young kids and probably wouldn't know the difference. I think you would know the difference if there was some Canadian. Well, I suppose when you're a kid, you don't know what's in the coffee, but we're not advocating for that here at all. We're simply passing along. Oh, look at Tony. Chad is in Studio G for great. Aw, Tony.
There's going to be a big G on that door come next time.
Tony, Chad doesn't care. Like, how do you like that reaction, you know?
No, it's wonderful. I like that one. That's good.
All right. Well, while I wait for that certain text from Mr. Mathers, let's turn to Brittany Merlot with a forecast that has today as potentially the driest day of the week.
Yes, it does. It's finally here.
Woo. Yes, that one day.
Right, one day, 24 hours in the break of rain right now. Of course, there are still little sprinkles out there in central parts of the state, but barely. Mostly cloudy statewide. There is some sunshine far south. Enjoy it if you haven't. We are going to see that continuing to spread north, so more and more clouds continuing to clear on out of here. There is some patchy fog in Tomahawk and Phillips this morning. Temperatures are in the 50s up north to about 60 degrees down south this morning, and highs today are going to make it to the low to mid 70s all across the state. Maybe some 80s far west towards the Mississippi, and then maybe some mid 60s far northeast. But otherwise, a beautiful day, becoming mostly sunny. Of course, that last light at 9:22 this evening. And tomorrow, even warmer. We're going to the mid-80s down south to mid to upper 70s up north. We'll start the day off with some sunshine, but there are chances as a front drapes right through the central parts of the state for some more showers. And then some thunderstorms roll through late at night and especially far south in the state. But we'll keep tracking that for you. It's a little bit unsettled as we go through the rest of this week. So enjoy it now if you have time.
So I may get in my hammock for more than 60 seconds.
You will. Today's the day.
I don't think you were on yesterday when I told the story of how happy I was to get all the yard work done just before this thunderstorm cell moved in. We'd see it on our phones and like, mow faster, and I had been hoping to maybe spend an hour in the hammock after that. And you see the rain is almost there. So finished the yard work, jumped in the hammock, took the obligatory photo of my tennis shoes and the lake behind me that I'm in the hammock. And then the rain started. So I'm hoping today I get more than 60 seconds in the hammock this afternoon.
You deserve it. After all that yard work too. Today's the day.
The landscaping is beautiful.
Good.
So those darn weeds come back. Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. Chad Holmes is with us from 98.9 WXCO. We'll talk a little news, talk a little sports. You want to start with the sports? You got spring postseason stuff, and you're busy today even. Right?
Yeah, heading your direction.
Yes.
You know where Augusta is, right?
Sure do. South Eau Claire.
Heading to Augusta, basically, when things wrap up around 9 o'clock, as sectional baseball going on today. A lot of sectionals around the state of Wisconsin. There are 14 tournaments, basically, and the winners advance to the state tournament next week. And we're covering the Marathon High School baseball team here and have a game at 1 o'clock. And if they win, they would play at 4 o'clock as well. So looking forward to that. And was very happy to hear Brittany say it was going to be dry today.
Yes, definitely. That's the thing. The spring high school sports, I mean, especially baseball, softball, early in the season, so many games are canceled. So many practices are moved indoors. And you really deserve the season to end on a nice note. And then it all comes to a head for the championships next week at Fox City Stadium in Grand Chute. Do you go out there for that?
Yeah, I've been there in the past. It's really cool to be able to go to a beautiful facility like that and any of the state tournaments. I mean, I know it's a big thrill for the kids involved and the coaches and the parents, but it's also a big thrill for those of us who get the opportunity to broadcast as well. So, knock on wood, it'll be a good day today and hopefully be able to head on over there next week.
Yeah. Girls softball, meanwhile, the championships begin tomorrow in Madison.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool because one of the schools around here, D.C. Everest, has never been to state before, and they're heading to the state tournament. And there's always something very cool about a group or a school or a community that has never had that opportunity to be able to do it for the first time. There's some perennial powers that are always there, it seems like, every single year. And sometimes it does get probably a little bit old. I know for the individuals involved, it never gets old. But when it's like, oh, they're back again here this year, they're back again this year. But when you see somebody new and the excitement that goes around that, it's fantastic. And of all the state tournaments, I think in some ways the softball was the best one. I went there about 10, 12 years ago in generally. And it's like the perfect size because you basically get – the Goodman Field filled up to the rim. It's a beautiful facility where the Wisconsin Badgers play. You like to have that big game feel, and you really have it with the softball. It was really a fun experience the year that I was able to go down there and broadcast.
I have a stupid boy comment here. I was used to baseball, watching baseball, and at some point, I want to say freshman in high school, was the first time that I, stumbled upon, not intentionally, but come across this field, and there's a softball game going on, high school girls softball. And up until that point, because again, there's no ESPN back then where you're seeing these young women, throwing 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. And so it was my first exposure to high school level girls softball. And I was so hooked right from I was so impressed with the pitching, especially. And you see why the sport has grown as popular as it has, why so many people were watching, the College World Series last week, for example.
And actually, usually at this point when the baseball ends, I get some time off from the play-by-play. But a few weeks ago, one of the parents on the softball diamond, I was over broadcasting the softball game, said, well, we got this American Legion softball that just started a couple of years ago. Would you be able to broadcast some of our games? I said, well, if you can help us get a little bit of sponsorship, I can do that. So they came through with a little sponsorship. So tomorrow night I'll be doing a American Legion softball broadcast here on on WXCO as well, but it shows that that's growing as well, because that's something that's new. I'm sure you've heard about American Legion Baseball for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
We had not had anything along the lines with the softball as well. And also real fast, this year here in Wausau, I know for sure, I think this league has been around maybe at least for a year. The Northwoods League, of course, is the Wood Bat League. And we have the Wausau Woodchucks here. And, of course, there's teams all over the place. Well, Northwoods League has started a softball version as well.
Oh,
and
wow.
Wausau has a team called the Wausau Ignite. And that's, you know, a lot of girls and a lot of guys are excited because, I mean, as you said, it's a very exciting sport. So now here at Athletic Park, they have Woodchucks games. And now they also have Wausau Ignite games as well. That's getting underway, I think, this week, if I'm not mistaken. So it continues to grow, and it's great to see those opportunities. I don't know if I told you this story, but my mom was a really big into athletics, but she went to school in the 60s, in the late 60s. Mm-hmm. And up to this day, I mean, she went on and in Wittenberg, she won the Wittenberg Golf Championship for women's multiple times back in the 70s, and she played softball forever. And she still says to this day how much she wishes she would have the opportunity in high school to play sports, to play softball and basketball and stuff like that. But that was before the early 70s when Title IX came through and gave the opportunities for girls and women. And you know, it's not that long ago that the girls did not have the same equal opportunities. And I think it's important to recognize the folks that brought that to us. I mean, the good that was done through that.
Oh, you mean those people who were discriminating against men, you know, to hear the Trump administration go after DEI right now?
No.
Yeah, anyway, let's set that aside for a second. The girls' soccer championships are coming up next week in Milwaukee. And then finally, the boys' golf championships wrap up today at University Ridge in Madison. So very busy postseason out there.
Actually, it was funny. We were talking earlier during one of my local segments because my in-studio engineer across the way, his dad is the golf coach at Wausau East, and Wausau East qualified their team for the state tournament. Mm-hmm. So they're involved in it. Yesterday was round one. Today is round two. So he's out there at University Ridge walking around with the Wausau East golf team as well. So there's all these little connections going on right now.
Yeah. So I mentioned that in our Sunday newsletter, our question of the week really stemmed from our conversation last week about the editorial in the Wausau Pilot and Review advocating for considering a city manager form of government instead of a mayoral. And I wondered if do you think that sparked more discussions in Wausau proper? Was that more of a one-off and it's not going to get any traction? What do you think?
I think, it's going to be a process because obviously when folks like us bring it up, and I think Shireen is within the umbrella of what we do, it does bring up thought. It brings up discussion. And this is something that's been around here in Wausau for a long time. As long as I've been doing these kind of programs, is that there has been a few folks that have been pushing for this, and it's been pushed back. But I do think that maybe just right now the dysfunction in certain areas of our city government is leading to maybe a little bit deeper thought on it. But I do think that, as we talked about last week, I mean, everything always looks the old grass is greener kind of feel. But there's issues with the other way of doing it as well. And I think, hey, having the discussion is a good way to do it. If it maybe makes things tighten up a little bit here at City Hall, maybe it makes certain folks think a little bit about what they're doing at City Hall. Maybe that would be a good thing as well.
I will never forget in college covering the Eau Claire County Board as a young Cub reporter. And they had an administrator. His name was Ron Wampler, real professional guy. And he would all the time have to correct. There were like one or two people on the county board. And it was almost like, one of those Gilda Radner characters on Weekend Update, where she'd just start to spout off on something. And Ron would be like, Fran, we covered that. Fran is on page 12 of your booklet. Fran, turn to page 12, and she'd be like, oh, never mind. So sometimes it's nice to have a little professional help in there from time to time. Chad Holmes covers everything around the Wausau area, new sports and more for 98.9 WXCO. Listen to him on the Civic Media app as well. Safe travels for the game today. We'll talk to you a little later on.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you. Still ahead, we're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media and, of course, founder of the Recombobulation Area, about the upcoming Democratic State Convention this weekend in the Dells. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Be a water-ready family this summer and keep your loved ones safe around water. Join the family at the SWC YMCA and learn from professionals how to become a better version of yourself while providing swimming lessons for young ones. The SWC YMCA is offering a summer special. Pay for the summer up front and they'll waive the new membership fee. Invest in yourself and your family and embark on your next summer adventure with confidence.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. I have your host, James J. Mayloff here, welcoming into the studio some of our good friends from the Miss Wisconsin Rapids and Miss Wisconsin Rapids teen organizations. We have the current crown wearers right now with us. I will introduce your name, let you guys go ahead and introduce yourself to the audience. First, we have Olivia Hewer with us.
Hello, everyone. Actually, it's Hoyer.
It's Hoyer. Yay. I knew it as soon as I said it. I'm sorry, Olivia. Thank you for being here, Olivia. It's good to see you again. And we have Bianca Bowden with us.
Hi, I'm Bianca.
Hey, Bianca. It's good to see you again, too. You guys, thanks so much for being here. I want to tell you both right out the gate how much I have been impressed by both of you. I've heard throughout the time that you guys have been doing this from community members, from people in the area. I've really enjoyed what you guys have brought to this wonderful organization. And I want to dive right into things and start right there. What have you been up to? Let's go ahead and start with you, Olivia.
Yeah, so I had spent a lot of the time, especially when we first started in October, kind of honing in on my CSI and tweaking it a little bit. I actually changed my CSI a little bit. It went from It Takes a Village to Raise a Child to now Tools for Tomorrow. So before it was going to be all about spreading awareness, and now it's more about collecting tools and supplies for the students in classrooms. So a lot of my time was spent on that. And then after we got that all set up a couple months ago, I think it was last month, we finally announced my new CSI, and I got to go to see some schools before school ended. And now we're really diving into prep for the upcoming competition next week.
I can only imagine. So when it comes to, we'll talk about the competition as well. We'll get that in there and make sure everybody knows about when that is and how they can attend. You mentioned your CSI, what you were going to focus with and everything. Were you kind of surprised, or were you just, okay, this is bigger than I thought it was, or it's about as you know, big as I thought it would be?
I think it actually got to be a lot bigger than I had originally thought it was going to be. When I first did this, it was solely based for my mom. My mom's a teacher, and I really just wanted to find a way to support her. I knew that's what I wanted to do, but I had no idea of where to take it or how the best way to do that was. And through the organization with my directors, I was able to really get a good grasp of what the community needed and find a great organization. We're working with Stuff the Bus and just finding the best way to help my classrooms and teachers.
I know for me, I was one of those kids that didn't have a lot of supplies, didn't have a lot of things growing up and everything. And I kind of, especially with the shame that went with it for me, I didn't talk to other kids about this. So I think that it wasn't until, again, you know, going off to college that I really realized how big of an issue it was. I can only imagine at your age and with not, you know, not maybe having some of the data or whatever, walking into it and then finding out, wow, this is, you already know it's important. You know how big of a deal it is. You wouldn't have chosen it otherwise. But to hear that part of it and to hear the groundwork that you're putting in on it and trying to bring attention to it, very much appreciated. That's great. Thank you, Olivia. Appreciate that. Bianca, how about for yourself?
So I went to two elementary schools, Woodside and Washington Elementary Schools, and I talked to kids from any grade. And like Liv said, she changed her CSI. I also changed my CSI to making a bigger range of car driving safety and stuff. So before it was mostly focused on seatbelts, but now I've kind of expanded to sitting in the car safely, seatbelts, of course, and then phone and like riding in the car safely. So the kids really look up to me. So I think that's a great way to get my message across to them.
Yeah. And a very noteworthy topic, too. Both of these are in different ways. But with this, I don't know, Bianca, did you, a similar question I have for you, too. I'm sure you saw this as an issue. You wouldn't choose it otherwise. But once you're in the middle of it, learning more about it, you talk about adapting your message as well. Was that in part because you saw it being a bigger issue or bigger, more to do with it, more layers to it than you might have realized?
Yeah. So about 2 years ago, this is the reason I chose my CSI. I got into a pretty serious car accident where my sister was airlifted to the Milwaukee hospital. And then a few months ago, my dad also got into a really bad fiery car accident. So just, I've had two car accidents in my family already. So I can already imagine like the statewide like car accidents. And I want to make that more aware that these things are more serious than you think.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I'm sorry to hear what your family's been through, but I appreciate you sharing that. I've mentioned to the audience plenty of times, I didn't get my license until later in life. For one, being in the city, you just didn't drive as much. But then when I also was through a lot of car accidents as a kid, a lot of them, and it just would trigger something for me. I've beaten that, and I'm okay with it now and stuff. I've been driving for a long time, but it took a long time to get to that place. These kind of things can hinder that growth. Right. And there's just too much. For one, there's too much independence and too much that comes with driving for people to not be able to fulfill that. But then once you are driving, respecting the road and respecting each other and that it's not a birthright, it's a privilege to get to drive, to get to be able to do these things. So a topic that your guys' generation are, I think, just my opinion, I think you guys are so much smarter and better about than people are giving credit to. My generation, I think, is the one that really needs the work, really needs those messages that you're mentioning, Bianca, and stuff. In part, not to give excuses, but in part, I think with mine, we didn't grow up with a lot of tech, and we're still, I think, adapting to it. Where you guys know so much of this better than we do and understand it better than we do, I don't know. I'm just seeing from the people that I talk to, the experiences I have, it being going a lot better in that route. That's good to hear. And appreciate the stuff. I also appreciate both of you guys mentioning how you started with a message and how you adapted that. we as a society need more of that and need to be more better about that. That's how a lot of life is. But unfortunately, you got a lot of people that double down nowadays and stuff. I like that you guys really show that and shine and embraced that. That's fun. That's great. Thank you both. So how have you been enjoying the experience? How has it been going, Bianca? Olivia, I knew I was going to do that. I knew I was going to do that at least once. I get one that I could do. Olivia, how's it been going?
I have been having such a blast, especially with taking so much time with my CSI. It's something I really do care about. And so really getting to make sure that it's going to a great cause and helping my community has been such a great accomplishment for me. I've been able to talk with a couple of classrooms, especially with that last week, even though school was ending.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Governor Evers announces a tourism hat trick in Wisconsin with the third record-breaking year in a row. Wisconsin Department of Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers said the state's tourism industry brought in a record-high $25.8 billion in total economic impact in 2024. This surpassed the previous year's record of $25 billion. This year's tourism hat trick includes a record-breaking amount of state and local revenue, a record-breaking 114.4 million visitors, and a record-high economic impact for tourism. The industry grew 2.2% from last year, supporting 182,000 part-time and full-time jobs across sectors in 2024. While information from the federal government has changed, state officials are still advising vaccinating for COVID. Lisa Hale has more.
You should still get an updated COVID-19 vaccination despite the guidance changes from the CDC. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. State health officials say the updated vaccine can help protect against severe cases of COVID-19, especially in pregnant women, infants, and elderly residents. DHS Secretary Kirsten Johnson says the updated vaccine was thoroughly reviewed for safety and effectiveness and encourages residents to consult their health care providers on getting the updated vaccine.
In Rome, the public comment period is extended for the Acron Solar Project. The plan to construct a solar electric generation facility with the potential of generating up to 200 megawatts of electricity will be located in the town of Rome in Adams County and the town of Saratoga in Wood County. You can find the link to the PSE public comments page at romewi.gov. Comments close on June 27th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Lilo and Stitch is still the box office champ. The biggest hit of the summer so far pulled in $32 million last weekend and is now pushing $800 million globally at the box office. The film is showing some great gams with only a 50% drop despite being in its third week of release. The number two spot goes to From the World of John Wick, Ballerina, which brought in a less than expected $26 million in its opening weekend and $51 million globally. The eighth installment of Mission Impossible saw only a 45% drop in its third week of release. Final Reckoning is currently at $450 million globally. Karate Kid Legends brought in $8.5 million to come in fourth place, and gruesome horror film Final Destination Bloodlines continues to show incredible staying power by coming in fifth place and pulling in $6.5 million in its fourth week. The film has now pulled in $250 million worldwide. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be partly cloudy and a bit warmer today. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop to around 60 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunny and even warmer with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we take a look at the fast-paced headlines across the nation and state. And a lighter note, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com will be here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. Let's talk to Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, and of course, the founder of the Recombobulation Area, where he writes columns, has guest columns, and tells us about all things in Wisconsin and including Milwaukee area politics. And he's got another column that is coming out very, very soon and talking about the state Democratic convention. We'll get into that a little bit later. Mr. Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. Doing well. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Take note that the state budget continues to be at an impasse. I have, of course, given my two cents on Republicans walking away from the negotiating table with Governor Tony Evers and whether there was actually anything new or surprising about it. But maybe I'm a little too cynical, Dan. Here's where you tell me how both sides were negotiating in good faith and they just couldn't get it done.
Well, that was the news coming, middle of last week, late last week about, the governor and various different entities within the Republican-controlled legislature releasing statements saying that they were had reached this impasse. And, you know, I've heard a little bit of rumblings about what happened. I'm not exactly sure what it was all about just yet, but it just seems like, Governor Evers was ready to meet Republicans, halfway or whatever it is. On some of their tax cut goals, their one economic policy, a tax cut, and was hoping for, as he outlined in his statement, funding for K-12 education, childcare, and UW system. Clearly, the Republicans did not do enough on that. You know, I've heard some rumblings in particular on childcare that they really did not come to the table in ways that many people were hoping for, especially considering how dire the need is on that particular issue when we're looking at, a quarter to a third of childcare centers potentially facing closure later this year because of this. So obviously you would want to make that a priority in these negotiations, but it seems they've fallen apart, and it seems that, maybe what will happen next is Republicans will have the same process that we've had for the last, three budget cycles in this era of divided government. We'll have the Republicans writing the budget, and then Tony Evers will come in with his partial vetoes, and then the Republicans will get mad about those partial vetoes in the end. Can we see this whole show playing out yet again, Mr. Kreitlow?
Yes, without a doubt. We most certainly can. So when Speaker Voss was being interviewed on WISN-TV's Up Front, he took offense. He, clutched his pearls, as one might say, and said, well, I mean, you're talking as if we were on zero. We weren't sitting on zero. You know, we had proposals, and they just weren't good enough for the governor. And it just reminds me of an old Republican trick we'd see every time there was a budget due. Is they'd say, well, we are once again proposing a record amount of spending. And what would happen is they'd basically, I'm just exaggerating a little bit, but they'd spend a dollar extra and say, look, last year we spent this much. This year it's a record. Like, yeah, and it's so short of inflation or the growing need for this or that. And so, of course, Speaker Voss can say, well, we weren't on zero. But again, they're not sharing the actual numbers, but I have a feeling the numbers were effectively zero for the good that they would have done, because let's just take childcare. You said there's dire need out there. Dan, you and I both know there are more than a couple of Republican legislators whose honest opinion is there isn't a dire need for childcare out there.
Right. And, you know, we have, and that is reflected in their priorities and what they've been doing and addressing this issue. You know, the Child Care Counts program that Evers is looking to fund worked. It was a pilot program that they were working on before the pandemic that they were able to, you know, prop up with the federal dollars that were coming with pandemic relief money, with some of those ARPA dollars. They propped up this program. It worked. It worked. It was a pilot program that worked. How often do we actually see that in government these days? But it, you know, raised wages for people who are child care providers. It helped those centers stay open, and it helped keep costs manageable for families. And the only way, and that has been effective. Now, Republicans last cycle talked about introducing some sort of, you know, kind of targeted tax credits and working with employers. Well, they had this one tax credit that passed that Evers did sign. But the problem with it was that zero businesses took advantage of this tax credit in the first year. Zero businesses. How often does that happen? Right. So I think this is just an example of, we need to stick with what we have seen is proven to work. And clearly, Republicans did not do enough to come to the table on funding these childcare priorities. And this is going to really make things difficult for working families in Wisconsin.
I have got to get the data on that one particular tax credit. I recall hearing about it, and not that zero businesses took part, because it is now a tangible example of something that we've talked about a lot in the 40 plus years of trickle down economic Reaganism supply side theories that are out there. If you're okay, Mr. Republican politician or Ms. Republican politician, if you're okay giving more money in tax breaks to the very wealthy because you believe that there will be this net positive effect as they make investments in the economy, as they create jobs and everything, why wouldn't you also see that when you do that for, say, a childcare teacher or a small business owner, you actually get a bigger multiplier effect because they're not going to put that extra money into, you know, more stocks and bonds. They're going to spend it directly in the local economy on some other small business who's going to turn around and probably spend it on another small business. And if they understand why you would want to give big tax breaks, I don't get why they wouldn't understand why you would help in something like childcare, where, again, you have a proven economic impact. It's not even a question, Dan. I'm sorry. I'll just never understand it.
Well, and this is a program that the Wisconsin Policy Forum, objective public policy analysis, some of the best that we have here in Wisconsin, gave the Child Care Counts program an award for innovation in government spending. And here we have, and the report that I was mentioning about no businesses taking care of this, taking advantage of this tax credit, is a piece from the Cap Times last week where they talked about how an outside consultant reviewed that tax incentive for the WEDC. And said, quote, due to the high operational costs of childcare centers, affordability would likely be better achieved through a subsidy as opposed to a tax incentive. No businesses have taken advantage of the childcare element of the tax program, according to a spokesperson from the WEDC. Again, that's a piece last week published by the Cap Times.
So there's a solution out there. Not the one that they proposed. Maybe they should take a look at the other one. So where we are in the process now is the Joint Finance Committee heads back into the meeting room and, you know, piece by piece starts to go through the state budget. And essentially what they're doing is they're writing the Republican version of the budget bill, not exactly working off what Governor Tony Evers gave them for his proposals. But what emerges from this will be the Republican bill, and they will add and subtract some things. And one of the things they're talking about adding is a tax credit for teachers who are buying classroom supplies, which, again, shouldn't necessarily be a thing. We're not talking, you know, they're buying a box of crayons here and there. They're buying a tremendous amount of supplies because of underfunded schools. But rather than funding the schools, Republicans are saying, well, here's a credit on your taxes.
Yeah. Isn't this ridiculous? Like, it just is Maybe we could cut out the middle portion of this whole thing and, oh, I don't know, just fund the schools to begin with so that teachers don't have to spend their own personal dollars on classroom supplies and materials and all of that. Why not just fund schools and to begin with? Cut out the middle part of this ridiculous runaround that Republicans are doing. You know, maybe just give the teachers the resources they need to make their classrooms the best places possible for their students.
It's funny. As you were saying it, Tony was typing it on YouTube in the comment section over here. And well,
great minds, Mr. Zimmerman.
Here's part of the answer to that is that, of course, like you said, not every teacher will take advantage of the tax credit or won't make enough money to qualify for the tax credit. So it's just like the childcare example you gave, and it's just like the Medicaid cuts where they say with a straight face, there are no benefit cuts. But if they put all these hoops in place where you can't take advantage of them, well, you know, that's too bad for you. So we know the direct answer of helping people. Don't cut their Medicaid. Provide direct support to funding for schools adequately. Provide direct support for childcare. But that's not what we're getting at this point, and I don't expect to see it necessarily in the Republican budget once the Joint Finance Committee is all done. Before we go to break, I've got to ask you about the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Their annual convention is this weekend. Folks will be thinking, well, it's an off year, right? I mean, there's no more elections this year, so it's going to be a slow affair. It most certainly will not, because there's going to be a big election coming up this weekend.
There is going to be a big election coming up this weekend to find out who will succeed Ben Wickler as the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Of course, you've had all of those candidates on the show here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, Devin Remiker, Joe Zepecki, and
William Garcia.
William Garcia. Yep. Apologies to Mr. Garcia, having a little bit of a brain fart this morning. The coffee maybe hasn't kicked in yet. But we're going to see that vote. We're going to see that vote on Sunday morning, I believe. The convention is Saturday and Sunday. So we'll see all the speeches, including one from Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, who is going to be the special guest speaker for the event. And there are a number of other offices that also have votes for them, you know, first, second vice chair on, you know, a number of other party officials. But the only one that has multiple candidates running for it is the chair position. Like, so, for example, Sarah Godlewski, Secretary of State, is running for first vice chair. She's facing no opposition for that. So she almost certainly will be elected to serve in that position. And so that will be, you know, an interesting component of this too. But you know, that chair vote also as well is being held with ranked choice voting, for the first time. That this was actually implemented in 2019, when Wickler took over, but there have not been, you know, enough challengers to Wickler or an open seat, to have ranked choice voting for this. So I think that's going to be an interesting element, of this vote as well.
Oh, that is going to be fascinating to break down those numbers, you know, if it goes multiple ballots and see how the votes get allocated when the person that comes in third place is, you know, eliminated in the first round. So that will be very interesting to see come Monday when all is said and done. And of course, there will be some chatter at the convention about Governor Tony Evers, as he's made clear repeatedly. He's not going to make any decisions until after the budget is done. But Dan, that's not going to stop delegates from talking. I'm sure there will be multiple conversations about if this or that.
But look, the part of what they're saying in this convention is that they are looking ahead to 2026 and the road to 2026 and the possibility of a Democratic trifecta if they are able to flip the Senate and the Assembly. But it's still an open question about who's going to be at the top of the ticket and what the race to become the nominee might look like. And I think that should be a major conversation outside of the convention. And you may be seeing something about that in the recombobulation area in the not too distant future.
Hint, the hint. Very not too distant future. And then shortly after that, like 4 o'clock this afternoon, you'll be filling in for Maggie Dawn today, along with Angela Lang.
That's right. Me and Angela, and I think Matt Rothschild's going to be joining us for a little bit on the show as well. But yeah, we'll be filling in from 4 to 6 p.m. this evening during drive time. So make sure you tune to Civic Media on your drive home this evening to catch
us. Yes, absolutely. And of course, catch Dan's column, which he will be talking about, I'm sure, this afternoon. You know what? I think all of us will be talking about it for sure. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area is with us. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age, between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our Windsurfing Regatta and Music Festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage, this year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation area.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
I know we got a lot of great events going on over there. I just don't know where to start. Where do you guys... that's my first tough question for you. Where to start? I don't do easy questions around it.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned, we have a lot of great programming. I believe as I am getting into the library and learning more about it and the ins and outs, I have really come to appreciate the programming aspect. And I can share with you that on Monday, we will be kicking off our summer reading program. Mm-hmm. We will, from 2 to 4 p.m. in the library's parking lot this upcoming Monday. We will see children and teens. They can sign up for our summer reading program.
It's wonderful.
Yes, and they will be able to enjoy games, crafts, treats, and a bounce house, which is always a big draw.
Yes, definitely.
And then moving on, I can just maybe, if it's okay with you, give a quick rundown Please. Of what's going on in June.
That'd be great.
And then Eric is going to tag team with me, so we've kind of divvied it up. Mm-hmm. So for the children in the month of June, we have a couple programs. These all happen on Tuesdays. So Tuesday, June 9th at 1 p.m., we're going to have a magician coming to the library. Tuesday, June 17th at 1 p.m. It's going to be messy art. It'll be outside, so feel free to wear your old clothes and get messy. And then on Tuesday, June 24th, again at 1 p.m., we are going to go to have a splash pad party at the Mead Splash Pad. So that'll be fun for all of the littles. Then moving on to our older kids, the teens, in June, you can look forward to on Monday, June 16th, there is a teen open make in the studio. That means teenagers can print with watercolors, they can paint with acrylic on canvas, or they can make buttons are pretty popular, I heard, with mm-hmm. the teens. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, June 18th, there's a teen garden club. And then Tuesday, June 24th, which I think is pretty cool, is going to be a teen bike ride. They're going to bike with our teen librarian, Miss Alicia, to Buren mm-hmm. and back. And they're going to learn local history. And then they're going to finish up with ice cream at the library.
If you hadn't told me who was doing that, I would have known right away.
Yeah,
but that's
right?
her kind of thing. That's
that
awesome.
Is totally Miss Alicia. And then lastly, I didn't want to forget our wonderful studio. So our studio is a makerspace where we have a recording studio, a glow forge, a silhouette cutter. We have acrylic and water paints. We have a large format printer. We have sewing machines, an embroidery machine, a button maker, 3D printers, Adobe Creative Suite, and we have a laminator. So we have a total of 13 open make days. So you can come in during that time and make anything you want. That's in June, July, and August. Mm-hmm. And I will now switch it over to Eric, who will talk about adults and our concert series.
Excellent. Thank you, Heather.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So we've had sort of traditionally kind of three program series at the library. Concerts have been a big thing for us for quite a while. And we're starting off in the Cranberry Blossom Festival with a concert at McMillan on Thursday the 19th. Mm. That's going to be a jazz band called Daddio. They do kind of improv style. They've been up for some Whammy Awards, both individually and as a group. Mm-hmm. So that will be...
They're good.
Quite a lot of fun.
They're good. I'll admit I'm a jazz guy, so I admit that, but they're very good out there.
All right. And then, you know, we've got further concerts going on into the summer. I may circle back to that. We also have done author talks, and on the 26th of June, I couldn't pass this up. from the Wisconsin Historical Society, Heather Kerrigan is going to talk about her new book, Beer, Brats, and Cheese. You can't get more Wisconsin than that.
No.
and it's as I understand, it's kind of somewhat of a travelogue. So she talks about different places to get these wonderful food items. So that should be lots of fun. We also do a movie series. So in June... we already showed this past Monday the movie Green and Gold, which was shot here in Wisconsin.
It's very cool that you guys showed that one. That was a good idea.
Yeah. Went out of our way to kind of make a connection with the production company to make
right
that
on.
Happen. On the 9th, we're showing Mufasa. The 16th is The Unbreakable Boy. The 23rd, One of Them Days. And the 30th. Is the new Captain America flick, Brave New World. So trying to mix up different styles as much as we can. You know, some of those are more for older folks, adult folks. You know, Mufasa, you can get, you know, a kid kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So lots of fun stuff.
Also wanted to mention, just to piggyback on that, Eric, and I do this in part because I'm a big fan and everything, but Cabo Union Jam, of course, you can catch. They'll be down there 1 o'clock this June 11th. They'll be over there. Also going on June 11th, and you guys will get to know this, but Terry Johns, CEO of the United Way, is with us all the time. So I mentioned this in part because we love the United Way, and I don't want to get hit in the back of the head. So I do want to mention the Great Book Giveaway coming up at McMillan this 10:30 this June 11th. So keep that in mind as well, everybody. And if I could, I just, I knew you guys were going to do a great job of covering a bunch of stuff. I did see one thing I just wanted to mention real quick. You mentioned the studio, Heather, and all the great stuff going on over there. There is a, on June 17th, a Fixing Broken Things jewelry class. And I love the idea of that. I love, especially, you know, we're talking a lot about a different events and going on. And I think the audience caught that there was things for kids, things for teens, things for adults. You guys do a really good job of covering all these things. The one thing that gets, you know, kids, teenagers, a lot of them are really into right now is repurposing things and fixing things. And I just think that's another note of the community, the board and everybody in charge of this stuff paying attention to the community. That's really notable and very cool. It's a cool class, too. And once again, we have only scratched the surface of all the stuff going on over there, everybody. I encourage you to go to McMillanLibrary.org to find out more about some of the great events and cool things happening at McMillan.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Day 5 of anti-ICE protests beginning in L.A. as 700 U.S. Marines get set to join thousands of National Guard troops there. Mayor Karen Bass.
We need to stop the raids. This should not be happening in our city. It is not warranted.
President Trump says the city would burn if he hadn't ordered those deployments. Defense Secretary Hegseth could face tough questions on the military deployment in L.A. as he goes before lawmakers on Capitol Hill this hour. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
After the hearing, Hegseth will head to Fort Bragg in North Carolina to join President Trump for the start of celebrations commemorating the Army's 250th birthday.
It was reportedly a student who opened fire at a high school in Graz today, Austria, gunning down 9 people. A police spokesman says
there are crisis management teams to help people, even for those who haven't been physically harmed. But still, there are several fatalities.
No motive yet. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.